Hello, everybody.
How are you all?
I hope you are well. I really do hope you all are well, because I am well. You all, well. Anyway, Tyler Rose, how are you, my friend?
What's going on? How are we doing? Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, you're the first guest.
I was. It's much different in here now.
Posters are the same, though.
Yeah, but the wires and shit, you know, it's just different.
Right, there's shit all over the fucking place.
Yeah, there's shit all over the place.
When you first came in here, there was, the mic you had, like, was barely working. It was weird. It was very quiet.
You couldn't hear me at all, but I hope now you can hear me. Table's still tiny, but...
Right.
I'm sure I'll get worked on.
It's the same table? What is this, 70-something to 80-something episodes? And I still have the same table.
What the fuck?
In fact, maybe by the time this comes out, I'll have a new table.
I hope so, man.
You may be one of the last people recording in the old studio, or this current studio, which will be the old studio, which is crazy because you were the first one.
Yeah, nah, that is awesome. You know, a bunch of last and first.
What, you don't like that?
Let's go.
So you've been doing some different. Last time you were on here, which was like I want to say in August,
mm-hmm.
You were still just doing the growing.
Yeah,
for
man.
The most part,
I go through jobs like I go through more jobs than you. Guaranteed, you're always doing something different. I feel like I'm doing something different more.
More often.
Yeah. But now. Now I think I finally found the stride, though. I've been restoring shoes, and it's kind of doing pretty good with it.
Right.
I've been learning. It's just like it's a learning curve, and there's a lot that goes into it.
You always fuck with shoes, though.
Oh, I've always kind of tried to. I've always loved sneakers. I've always worn them, always collected them. But especially in high school, I tried to learn how to clean them and paint them and fix them up, but I wasn't good at that. Do you remember... In high school, I bought a pair of black sixes from Black Jordans from Chris Aldred.
Okay.
And I spilled white paint on them.
Right. Yes. And those were like infrareds or something. They're
yeah,
like nice ass.
Yeah, they were. They're like hyped up sneakers. Now they go for like in the 400 or 500s. But like,
damn.
No, I spilled white paint on those sneakers. And I thought I was a hot shot customizer, call them the cum shot sixes.
Nice. I remember those.
Uh-huh. No.
I gotta bring those back.
I promise I don't do that anymore. Any of my clients.
Yeah, I know, right? That's a good pitch. Hey, guys, I'll spill white shit on your fucking black sneakers.
Yeah, I'm just gonna fucking splatter paint on your sneakers. Don't worry about it.
Wait, so you clean them and you customize them?
So I don't want to, you know, wrap myself out here. I've been customizing. I've been working on a small project. I haven't really, and pictures will be coming out. So probably by the time this is out, pictures will be out of my first custom. But I've been working on a new custom. It's going to be my first one I ever release, like, pictures of. So I want it to be perfect. But mostly now I just restore sneakers. Like, people will bring me a pair of sneakers that... the bottoms are very yellowed, or there's paint chips, anything like that, and I can pretty much completely fix them, make them look new in most cases.
So you're one of those guys in the mall?
No. You? I'm not one of those fucking assholes
hey,
in
yo.
The mall.
Hey, yo, those sneakers are clean, but hey, we gotta clean them.
Nah, and that cleaner kit don't even work. You spend $80 for a mall sneaker.
How much it is?
Kit. They're mad expensive.
God damn.
And
they're robbing you.
What's sick is I know a lot of people that got finessed with that kit. I was one of them. I bought that kit. Jordan had a kit. A lot of people I know that had a sneaker cleaner mall kit. You know, those guys were good, man. They were good.
They just stopped you. Because, I mean, there's plenty of sneaker stores in the mall. So, like, there's already people who's walking around, you know, who fucking surrounded by, like, thinking about sneakers, I guess.
And those guys got clout, too. I mean, we're still talking about those two same guys.
Right, they've been there forever.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, coming off the fucking...
Right off the escalator.
The escalator.
Like, you gotta run to the left quick if you have Jordans and Nikes on you.
Yeah.
You gotta take a quick left and just sprint out of there.
Even if they're new. Even if you got them 2 days ago.
Because what's fucked up is they'd stop you and they'd clean one shoe. Right. They'd clean for the free. Left or the right for free.
Yeah.
And then $10 for the next one. I'm 14, 15 years old. Right.
Okay. $10 is $100.
$10 to clean some sneakers? The fuck? Yeah. I can do that with a toothbrush at home. Like,
yeah, dead ass.
But do you want to walk around the mall the rest of the night with one dirty sneaker, one clean sneaker? You're looking like a bozo.
Not at 14. No, so you'll get beat up.
That's how they finesse you.
Right.
They clean one
they
sneaker.
They prey on 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds.
They do. They do. Little chubby hype beasts. They just smash it out.
Take all their money.
Oh my God. It's bad. It's bad.
I feel like, how long has, like sneaker culture, in a sense, to me, I feel like it's been around for ages, but, like, differently. I don't know. Right now, it's almost, like, surrounded with, like, athletic sponsorships, if that makes sense.
Well, definitely, at first it wasn't about athletic sponsorships at all. And really, right now, it's probably mostly talking about Jordans and the impact Michael Jordan has on the sneaker culture and how his documentary came out around, I think it was April last year, and Jordans just took off like crazy all over again. But, like, it all, that's when kind of the sneaker culture did kind of start.
I feel like when we were when we were in high school, all there was were, like, Nikes, and they were really specific. Like, you either had Jordans or you had a specific kind of Nikes, like Air Maxes or something. And, like, if you had any other sneaker, it was, like, weird. You know what I'm saying? Now, I feel like it's different. Now, there's some other, like, sneaker brands that are kind of popping out.
Oh, yeah, well, now there's so... It's not really just brands either. Like, there's so many different collabs and stuff. Back when, like talking back from, like, the start of sneakers, which I would call, like, the late 90s. Because, like, that's when the Jordans started getting huge. But still, even then, you could still walk into a store and, like, get the newest Jordan that came out. They weren't, like, selling out.
Right.
And then you started to get to a point where, like, resellers came in, and now a reseller will buy any shoe that drops on the market to resell it.
Right.
Like, so yeah, New Balances.
Just flip them.
New Balances, Adidas, even Pumas I've seen go for, like, a pretty penny. Like,
right.
Just random brands that you wouldn't think are, like, designer, you would call it, are, like, getting kind of like these designer prices in the resale market, and the hype behind it is kind of why it seems like more popular than it ever was.
Right.
Because, like, for example, you can go spend $10,000 right now on a pair of Dior ones, and you'll probably be the coolest kid in those Dior ones until, like, something happens to them.
Yeah.
But, like, that price is just going to keep going up and up and up and up. And that's the thing about sneakers now. It's really like...
Yeah, it's like become like a market almost. You buy a sneaker, like, you can almost... I could be wrong, but I think now you can buy, like, shares in certain sneakers. Like, because of how often they're getting resold and shit and how the value's changing, I think you can actually speculate on... Just like someone would speculate on a stock going up or down.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could do the same thing with sneakers. Because they're doing it with everything. They're doing it with old cars. Fucking, you know, baseball cards always.
Yeah.
But all that stuff. Art.
I mean, cards are another thing right now. Like, even new cards. Like, you can't
I've seen that, too.
You can't, like, walk into a Target or Walmart and just buy a box of football cards like you used to be able to. And those retail for, like, $20. You're buying them from a reseller for, like, $60.
Yeah.
Like, the resellers are ruining, like, certain markets, starting especially with sneakers, just because there's always been a crazy hype behind them, so.
But I would think in doing so, they're probably making the whole market bigger.
Definitely.
Or I should say bringing in more money should be wealthier.
So, yeah, but I mean, like, so there's a lot of people that, instead of just, like, getting the real sneaker, like, the real sneaker that came out at retail, like, say, it's a Jordan, the sneaker Nike dropped.
Yeah.
They're gonna go, like, to another seller like overseas, and they're gonna get a fake pair. It's a replica, and replicas are so good right now. Like replicas,
can't even tell.
You can barely tell. Like there's always gonna be like that one thing that's off. But like the thing about sneakers, like you can grab a pair that just came off the shelf from Nike, and there could be a difference on the left shoe that's not on the right shoe. Like people make sneakers. So people make mistakes too. So like not every pair that comes out is 100% perfect as it is. And like that's why a lot of people wear reps too, because they're just sick of like the factory mistakes. And some reps, I follow this, I subscribe to him on YouTube, Minor Kicks. He loves replicas. All he does is review them. And he's a quality guy, like quality right. over, like the quality needs to be great. Some of these reps use better quality than the actual Jordan factories. Like you can get good leather anywhere. So like it all depends on if you can put the sneaker together.
Right. So you're saying that there's people who essentially make the same sneakers and sell them like the same way, like you said, at Air Force Ones or something.
Yeah, like exactly. Like the big shoe to fake right now is like a Travis Scott or something like that. Like,
but is it bad to have it though?
Get a fake
if it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, I personally wouldn't wear fakes, but yeah. Then again, like I don't really care what you got on your feet. Like it don't matter. Like wear whatever right. makes you happy. However, if you do have fakes on and they look real, nobody's going to be able to tell, especially if I'm looking at your feet from like a distance. Right. Like I'm not going to spot out from a mile away, oh, those are fake. Like,
right. Yeah. Do you only clean sneakers?
What do you mean by that?
Like, do you do like wingtips? Like fucking like dress shoes and
like
shit?
Like loafers?
Like restore them and shit? Could you do that? Or would you need like a whole different like kit and setup?
So what I've been like dabbling in more, like leather restoration. The end goal of the year is to make my own sneaker. Like even if it's just for me, like to like stitch with my own materials yep. and like build my own sneaker. That's the goal by the end of the year. So I've been like dabbling in stitching and sewing and like that. That would be all a part of like leather repair and stuff like that on loafers, or if it's just like a scuff, there's like ways to just like throw some leather filler in there and then paint over the scuff,
buff it out.
But yeah,
right. Yeah, it's funny because for the longest time, the only people that worked with shoes were like just cobblers. They're people that like fixed shoes essentially. And that's not what you're doing. You're more like bringing them back to like, you know, back to life, essentially, back to what they used to look like.
It's actually funny you say that. So there's this huge company called The Cobblers.
Yeah.
And they started out as these three old ass dudes that only did loafers. They like owned a small business. They only did loafers. They had these regulars for years, like that yeah. came in and got their loafers done. This one kid that restored sneakers was like, listen, guys, I think we should team up. So he is behind the sneakers. They're behind the loafers. They take
shit.
All these different pairs, mm-hmm. global shipping. Like they just got this giant warehouse.
Oh, hell that, yeah.
That's like,
that's a whole nother market.
That's the absolute like most genius idea I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like just to like,
blend the two.
Absolutely. Like you got these guys that are literally like specialists in the old loafers, and you yourself are a specialist in sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's perfect. It's a perfect combination of the two.
Yeah. So when did you officially, I guess, start? It's called Clean Co, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We never met. We've been talking about it the whole time, never mentioned the fucking name.
Shit, yeah. Clean Co 401.
When did it officially start?
So like at first, literally I was just cleaning my own sneakers, and then I started cleaning a couple friends' sneakers. And then my first time I charged was a old friend had messaged me and gave me a big project. So I charged them, it turned out very well, and then I started taking like projects from like everybody. So now I take projects from, I even take shipping. Like you don't have to be in Rhode Island to get your sneakers fixed by me.
Oh, shit, really?
Mm.
Oh, wow.
So I don't really know when I started. Probably in, like, I don't know, September. September was probably, like, the when I first put the Instagram out. And then I didn't start getting popping until, like, January. I've been so busy the last couple of months with it. It's just been finally starting to take off.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it. Mm. And with all this stuff that's going on that you've been mentioning to me, it seems like I've been saying, the market is just bigger. So there's people who want to keep their sneakers because, who knows, maybe they have the real ones and they want to resell them.
Exactly.
They can get them restored by you mm-hmm. so they look fucking good as new.
And I have this one guy, actually, he's a regular, he comes to me, like, once a week with a couple pairs. He actually buys used pairs, brings them to me, and then wears them.
Mm.
So, like, he'll buy a pair that's, like, been worn, like, a bunch from this, like, from anybody, like, offer up Craigslist,
what
whatever.
A dirty bastard.
Whatever he used. And then I'll bring them to me, I'll clean them, and then he's got a new pair of sneakers for half the price.
That guy is, we need to get that guy in office or something.
He's genius.
I mean, that's vile.
I mean, if you get past, we're still kind of in a pandemic, so you shouldn't be wearing other people's sneakers. But
yeah.
He's getting them cleaned first, at least. You know, he's taking that extra step.
I guess that is okay.
It's like sanitizing or whatever.
Yeah. Still some dirty bat. You don't know what they were doing. They could have been running around. In fucking fields.
Yeah, you don't run in fields. In
your dog city. Shit fields.
Oh,
like
shit.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nah, I thought extra $20 if your shoes got dog poop on them.
Do people bring in, like, have you seen something that you're like, I don't think I can fix this? Yeah, have you seen it yet?
I've seen, so actually I had to turn down somebody the other day because I'm still not 100% with my stitching.
Mm.
So I still can't, like, stitch a midsole back on. I do re-glues, but some sneakers have a stitching as well around the sole. I can't do that yet. So things like that I turned down, but there's never been a job that I was like, nah, I can't. I like challenges. Mm-hmm. The harder the job, the more I'm going to learn from it. And actually, my first re-glue, I shouldn't have taken. It ended up coming out phenomenal. The kid loved it.
Yeah.
But it took me, like, an extra 3 weeks than it should have.
Damn.
The kid was from Washington, so it was shit.
Wait, so when you re-glue, what is that? You're talking about the sole?
So, yeah, like, the sole comes off
yeah.
after a while. And,
right.
You gotta glue it back on. So, what I didn't know was the difference between glues, and I mean, I was using the right glue, but when people try to super glue their own soles back on, it actually makes it like 10 times harder for me
to fix it.
Yeah, because you gotta take all that glue off, and especially Gorilla Glue.
Gorilla Glue.
Gorilla Glue don't wanna come off. You know what Dremel is?
Yes.
It's like a
sander, like a little tiny one.
I just sit there with my Dremel all day, just smacking at the Gorilla Glue.
People fuck this shit up.
It takes forever.
One time I had these boots. I might still have them somewhere. They don't fit me anymore. But they were these suede boots
mm-hmm.
that the rubber bottom just fucking flopped off, and they were talking. And I was a kid. We were going to a karate tournament, and I hopped out of the Jeep that we all came in. And it, like, got caught on something. It said, plop, 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 plop. And the whole fucking tournament, until somebody found something to tie it with. We were just sitting there watching, but I was walking around with it fucking talking. And I never went and got it fixed because I was like, whatever. But what I did do one time was I took, like, painter's caulk,
mm-hmm.
that fucking clay shit, and I stuck it in there. And I just pressed it. And I'm like, oh, see how long this lasts. Sure enough, it fucking came undone again.
How long did it last, though?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. Maybe a week.
Shit, that's pretty good,
yeah.
though. That's pretty good idea.
Maybe a week.
Right on the spot. Like, that's,
yeah.
You know, that's not a bad idea. So at first, when I was doing these big restores, I would work with my old sneakers that were destroyed. And one of the first ever Jordans I bought, I actually waited in line overnight. For these sneakers, like 11 hours in line in front of Evelyn's.
Oh.
I was like 15, so I couldn't
stand in line for fucking anything for 11 hours.
I needed them. Nobody else was getting these sneakers. I was going to be the coolest kid in high school.
Yeah.
Which I was not after wearing the sneakers, I realized that in right. day one. So my mom actually sat in the parking lot all night.
Oh my
in the
God.
Car all night, because I was like 15. She was like, "You're not sitting in a line by yourself, you know?" Because Evelyn's is like,
it's right on Evelyn's the line.
Right on the line. She was like, "Absolutely not." Like, I was like, "Come on!" All right. these older dudes is like, "Is that your mom's over there?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like third in line. I was like, "Better
third in line."
Oh yeah.
Oh my God! You were there early.
I was that early.
God damn.
But so anyway, I was fixing them and. I ended up completely ruining them trying to fix them. But this is why you start with your own sneakers. Because, like, right. this whole game's a learning process. Like, so I actually put a hole in the sole trying to get glue off.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have to use acetone to remove the glue. But if you use too much, it's gonna... The soles aren't that strong.
And right, right.
Nike uses awful materials, honestly. I've taken shoes apart, like, to do re-glues.
Well, they're also made by children who are getting paid 15 cents an hour.
You don't gotta bring that up.
You know, I mean, I think it has to be brought up.
You don't gotta talk about that side of Nike.
No, we do. We do. Here on the Smoking Simeon, we never wear Nike. Never, ever wear Nike, ever. I don't give a fuck. Pay them less. Whatever. Anyway.
No, the fuck it. End of story. Nike uses shitty materials. That actually, you know what's crazy? Nike, the VP just had to step down. Her son's a reseller.
Oh, shit. And he's got insider fucking info.
That's what they... Well, actually, people are saying that, like, she's how he gets all the sneakers. Like, because, like, he has pictures on his Instagram of him in front of, like, just boxes on boxes of shoes.
Right.
So, like, she had to step down because Nike was like, well, that's a weird coincidence. Like,
right. That's basically giving them money. Giving them Nike money. Here you go.
Yeah, speaking of Nike being scumbags, you know, there's another point.
if the first one wasn't enough.
Nah, the first one almost got me there, but this one got, oh, that's too much, you know, that's the
it.
Second one.
That's it. It's just like the lady from Full House, how she went to jail for paying her kids to go. I was like, good, give her more. Fuck that bitch. I hate that. What the hell is that?
You know, I didn't get into college because I was stupid.
Yeah.
You know, so if
But imagine if your family had bread and they were just like, take my stupid son.
imagine my rich parents buy my dumb ass into Brown University.
Exactly. Like, it's terrible.
Fuck, this is why we have shitty lawyers, doctors, why America's failing.
Well, however, the thing is usually rich families do that, but they don't do it as blatantly as she. Like, she was just straight paying for high scores. Usually, rich families buy, like, a library. For the school. You know what I'm saying? Or they buy like a computer lab or something.
Mm.
And now the kid just goes. It's the same shit, but it's hidden a little bit more.
Yeah.
Where this lady's like, I don't give a fuck. I was on Full House for 15 years. However fucking long it was.
Well, she wasn't the only parent doing it, though. She was just the famous one in the book.
They should all get bagged.
I think they all had to do time, but she was just the most famous.
Right.
In the circles.
That's the only one I ever wanted to hear about.
So, yeah, nobody would have given a shit if she wasn't the one that did it.
Right.
A bunch of old white women just buying their kids in the college. Like, nobody blinking an eye at that. But it's a lady from Full House, so it's news. It's news.
The first time I really, like, looked at a pair of sneakers and I was like, damn, I need those. Look these up while I tell the story. Please. They're Wolverine Dunks. They were high tops, though. Wolverine high top dunks. Mm-hmm. I saw them in Boston. They came in a pair when they first dropped. They came with Sabretooth Air Max 95s. Did you find them?
Yeah, I got them.
Let me see. Yeah, those fucking things. Dude, I got those when I was a kid. I saw them in the store, and my dad was like, you like those? And I'm like, fuck yeah. But we left Boston that day. It was in Boston. We went back like a week after. And I was like, yeah, and I got them. And I fucking wore them, but I ended up dogging them. But now, they're like $225.
I remember you having those in middle school.
Right, I would wear them for like Blue and Gold Day or something.
Yeah. Dunks are just like, it's a skating shoe. It's a Nike skating shoe.
Yeah.
And they're taking off big right now. Just because, like, the look of them, they're so hyped up. people. Yeah. That's like something that is also like really, really expensive. Actually, Ben and Jerry's did a collab with them.
Right. What was it called?
The Chunky Donkey.
Yeah.
And that, I mean,
those took off.
Oh my God. Yeah. They go for like $2,000.
And oh my
God. If you got the ones that come with the special box is like the Ben and Jerry's package.
Right.
With the shoes inside.
That's the other thing. The boxes, like $4,000. The boxes now are like worth something. Like if you get it with the box, cause they're so like enveloped with a whole bunch of different shit.
If you can get like a special box, or they'll call it friends and family edition. If you get like a friends and family box,
yeah.
Like, oh my God. You're
balling.
That, yeah. That's like, that, to even get like a friends and family shoe, that means like you need to be literally friends or family. They're the only people that get these sneakers.
Right.
And those are even very limited edition. Like Dunk actually did another collab with those crystal people. The
Swarovski?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
fuck.
And it was them and like Chinatown Market or something, whatever. But the original ones are just normal crystals, and then they have a friends and family that's like olive with diamonds around it.
Oh man!
Both are crazy, but like the friends and family go for an extra like $10,000.
That's when you have fuck off money.
That's when you have fuck off money.
Like you, somebody's bothering you, just go fuck off. Give them $2,000. Fuck off.
A lot of these sneakers are like that. Like, yeah. Fucking walking around in Dior ones, like.
Like, what are you gonna use those for?
Like, even the people that bought them at retail, you still pay $2,000 from the Dior store for those.
Right.
$2,000 for sneakers? You're out of your goddamn mind.
You buy a car. A little car.
Fuck.
I remember watching, I always used to like, I still watch it sometimes. What's that shit called? I think Complex does it.
Yeah, Sneaker Shopping.
Yes, with the celebrities and shit. Mm-hmm. I think they did one with 50 Cent. And he was like, I was always like late on the sneakers because people have these, you know, $500 sneakers, but they're walking. And I'm like, he's looking at sneakers and he's like, yeah, $2,000. Like, you could buy a fucking Chrysler. You could buy a little car for that. He's like, no pair of sneakers is going to beat a car to me. Doesn't matter the sneakers, doesn't matter the car.
Like, yeah.
The car's always going to win.
But then you got people like there's a lot of celebrities that think like that. But yeah. Then you got people like fucking
Neymar. Spend 60 G's, whatever he spent there. Something stupid.
Oh, my God. I was going to say Lil Yachty, but he was bad. He bought, not only did he buy Air Yeezys, yeah. Which are a $6,000 shoe. I was watching Complex did a video, top 10 most expensive purchases. He had six of them.
Yeah.
Him and there's a basketball player that plays for the Rockets. I can't think of his name right now, but him too. He's a basketball player, and he has the best sneaker game in the NBA. Like, that's crazy.
Damn. Neymar, let me see. Neymar spent $18,623. On fucking sneakers.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Imagine having that kind of money. Just walking into a store like, nah, no. These.
Just like them. Didn't even look at the price tag. I just like how these look. What are these? Yeezys? I made him sound like he's Indian. What are these? He's fucking Brazilian. Stupid.
No, but yeah, nah, you look at some of these like celebrity collections and they yeah. got like a room that's like the size of my living room.
Yeah.
Full of
yeah.
sneakers.
What's like, Dr. Dre? All the Air Force One. Dude, he wears one and just tosses them. He's like, fuck, he's got a room for Air Force One.
Brand new ones.
Yeah, lick the bottoms of them. Look at these.
And then there's this like, he's like a producer or something. I can't think of his name. He does work with DJ Khaled all the time.
Right.
But his sneaker room is like broken down into like eras.
Yeah.
And it's like literally like he had to break down a wall to make two rooms one room because there's so many sneakers in this room. Like,
damn.
Crazy. Just a maze of sneaker boxes just right. stacked up. Like the see-throughs just.
Sneaker junkie is the truth. People can't get enough of them.
No, people really can't get enough of them.
What are you wearing? Those look nice.
Some Jordan 1s.
Put them on the table. Come on now. This is what we're here for.
Bang!
Look at that.
Some smoke grays. You know, they're not the $10,000 Diors, but...
They could be.
Tyler ain't got $10,000 for Diors.
You can... what do they call them? You can fake them off?
What are they called? Some replicas.
Replicas, you can do that.
So like, for somebody like me to get a replica pair of, like, Dior's or something, fucking know that fit. No matter how real they look, you know that fit just because I got them on. Like,
right.
I'll just keep getting $20,000. What, he stole them? Not that fake. Like,
another pair of sneakers that I went crazy. This might have even been before, I don't know, maybe before the Dunks. Were the Mellows, the Jordan Mellows.
Carmelo Anthony's.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember seeing those as a kid when they first dropped. Mm-hmm. I was like, these are fucking dope. I like them, but I never got them. And then when they redropped when I was in high school, I was like, I mean, I have to get these. I still have them now. They're mad comfy.
What's really sad, and like, it's not really sad. Like, who really cares? You know, they're still fucking paid athletes. But the people that signed with Jordan Brand... Literally, like Melo. Melo had his own signature sneaker his entire career through Jordan Brand, but they're still
nobody
Jordans.
Noticed. Yeah,
they're still Jordans. Or like Chris Paul, like his CP3s, they're still Jordans. Like,
oh, were they? Yeah,
and they sit on shelves like nobody cares
right.
about any of these sneakers
because they're not the numbered Jordans. People want the numbered Jordans.
Yeah. Nobody really cares if, like, Russell Westbrook signs with Jordan and drops right. all these decent-looking sneakers. Those aren't gonna...
Well, it seems like now...
Some of them they are ugly, too.
They can, right. Now they can go off and do deals with all different companies. Like, Stephen Curry does Under Armour.
Yeah, so I think that's cool. Like, I mean... If you get, like, a deal with, like, Nike, Under Armour, or something like that, you're going to get your own sneaker.
Right.
Like...
Doing it under Jordan, that's already a fucking sneaker company. Like, straight sneakers, you know?
Steph Curry... I almost said Seth Curry. Steph Curry has... His sneaker is very comfortable. I played basketball in a sneaker before. It's very, very comfortable. It's, yeah. He has a really, like, made-for-basketball shoe. And, like, so does LeBron.
Right.
As to wear, like... Jordans, like, you can play basketball in them, they're made for that, but you're not gonna.
Right.
And, like, the material's starting to get so, like, that you don't really play basketball in them, just because, like, the material on these that I'm wearing are flimsy as hell.
No, you can't play ball in those, hell no.
Like, I'll crack my paper ankles, like, my God.
But that's also the thing from, like, back in the day, they were playing with fucking bum-ass sneakers. Like Converse and shit, like that's old. But like, and then once Jordan came in, those were like the Under Armour Steph Curry shoe. You know what I'm saying?
So in college, Jordan played in Converses.
Right.
Converse wanted Michael Jordan bad, but then his agent or something was like, we should like take a shot with Nike. And at first, Michael Jordan was like, who?
Yeah.
But then like they kind of just like swept him off his feet, and like he's been with them forever now. And, but, like, yeah, it's, you know, the materials and whatnot. Is that what we were talking about? Whatever. Fucking Nike. Eating trash.
So, what the fuck is going on with the UFC? They've been having a little bit of a tough break lately. And I'll tell you why. Before you say anything. So, just recently, Bilal Muhammad and Leon Edwards fought. Shitty decision, got poked in the eye, garbage, right? Garbage ending to a card. And then, before that, Piotr Jan...
Well, same card, Darren Stewart and Eric Anders, that ended in a
no
contest as well.
Right, right. And then, before that, you have Piotr Jan kneeing Aljamain in the head. The belt gets switched in a fucked up way. And then you have Amanda Nunes just smoking people. Like... There's no division anymore for... supposedly, the rumors are there's no 145 division anymore.
So...
The stars are getting wiped, right? Jan beat Adesanya. Conor got fucking slept. Khabib is gone. Amanda Nunes is beating everybody that she's not entertaining anymore. Fucking... who else is there? I'm forgetting.
They're really trying
to... Piotr just lost his shit.
They're really trying to sell Usman right now.
Yeah, they're trying.
Usman
and
Jorge, they're fighting again.
End of February.
Was that?
No, end of February, end of April.
Was that a decision? The first one was a decision, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And Jorge lost. I can't remember. I know I watched it. I can't remember.
It was boring. That. It was he hugged them against the wall and
it sucked.
But I mean, he did what he had to do.
I don't know. I kind of like the beef between Sterling and Yon. Listen, at first, I felt so bad for Aljo because I really did feel like he didn't want that belt. But yeah. He's celebrating like a motherfucker right now.
Afterwards,
he's
yeah.
so excited to have that belt around his waist.
Right.
If a situation like that happens, you should not change the belt. If the belt does switch, it should become vacant.
Do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it should immediately go to Aljo, especially when he was losing arguably 3 rounds.
Mm. Yeah, I thought he was getting his ass beat too. Yeah, I mean, it is very fucking weird, but if you treat it like any other fight, I know it's not any other fight because it's 5 rounds and it's for a belt, but if you treat it like any other fight, then obviously the guy who can't continue.
They were beefing on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that. Like, they were going back and forth. Aljo said something about, like, calling him a scumbag, and Peter Yan was pretty much like, oh, you quit, blah, blah, blah. But they were going back and forth, like, for a while. And then Henry Cejudo tried to get into it. You know how Henry Cejudo is. I think the smaller divisions are actually going to be, like, more entertaining now for, like, a while. Because I fucking hate Usman. Usman's the most boring motherfucking fight. I mean, the Burns fight was all right because he got dropped.
The Colby fight was good. That was, like, a crazy fight.
Yeah, but everybody just wanted to see, like, one of them lose.
Yeah.
So, like, even that one I didn't know. But I don't like either of them. I don't like the people that, like, if they're boring or like Kobe's always screaming about right. nonsense and just
he's annoying.
His Instagram posts. I'm
excited to see Masvidal and Usman too.
I am too. I hope Jorge steps up.
Imagine Jorge does it. I don't think he wins, unfortunately.
I mean, I hope he shows up. I don't think he's like. I think they're really trying to, like, push his star power.
Because, like I was saying before, dude, all the stars are fucked right now.
Yeah.
Connor lost.
Yeah, Connor lost.
Amanda's boring. John Jones is the only one that's doing something big. He's going to heavyweight.
You can do things with Amanda Nunes, though.
Like fight Clarissa Shields? Is that what you're suggesting?
I mean, would that not be a... That would be a... battle like
I'd probably watch it.
Like people are gonna be like, nah, Amanda Nunes is MMA, blah 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 blah. I've never seen her have to use like have to go on the ground. If she does, it's like an accidental submission. She just ended up in that like
position. No, she fought Shevchenko the first time or second time and took her down a whole bunch, kept her on the ground.
Oh yeah. That yeah, but that was still a good fight. It was still back and forth.
Yeah, it was close.
I feel like Valentina's the only one that like challenges her at all.
Yeah, but they've already fought twice, right? And Amanda won both. Yeah.
But yeah, no, Amanda and Shields would be a good fight. But I was even thinking like getting some like bigger women in from like that. There's a promotion.
Big yoked women.
It's a weird promotion. Might have heard of it. It's called Ryzen.
Right.
They got the biggest, most yoked women I've ever seen. Like Yo Romero looking women just walking around.
Damn.
They got that 6 foot lady.
Gabby.
Yeah. Imagine
she's
her.
Fucking huge.
Imagine her versus Amanda Nunes.
You ever see her fight that old Japanese woman?
Oh my god, dude!
It is fucked up. she goes in there against this woman is like 54. She's got a white mop on her fucking head. Like, she's old and she looks scared as shit because Gabby is huge. She's like 6'3", yoked. Oh, ready to fucking... And she could have easily just taken this woman down and, like, choked her out slowly. Like, the lady was going to struggle, but she was going to lose. Like, dude, she beat the fuck out of her on the feet. Just boom, 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 boom. Beating the fuck out of her.
That's the thing with Ryzen. Ryzen will just, like...
They love the freak show.
Ryzen's like old pride. They'll put like 90-pound men against like these 400-pound trains and just like watch them go at it.
Yeah.
And do you remember in it's a clip that's like that's like used a lot, but it's like it was a small like Asian dude against like a huge gigantic dude in Pride, and he like caught like a triangle or something.
Oh,
like,
shit!
Like
I think
jumping like it was so absolutely random, but that's the shit that can happen in Ryzen. Like
yeah, there's sometimes there's those I forget who it was. There was a famous KO of Anke Bono, who's a sumo wrestler.
Yeah.
And he got fucking head kicked. I forget who did it to him, but it was mean. And he's like a wide body. You got to go like, whoo, to hit him. So wham, and he just dropped. Dude, that had to be the biggest, like, biggest person to ever get KO'd. Like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah, no.
It was brutal.
That's just that type of shit that Ryzen does. But no, like, big women like that against Amanda Nunes, great. Amanda versus Gabby.
Yeah, but Gabby's, like, way bigger.
No weight limit. Who cares? It doesn't have to be for a belt. We just want to see a fight. Like,
I don't know. Sometimes you do want to see that. You just want to see, like, what would this guy do at this weight?
I would even go as far as fucking let Amanda Nunes fight some dudes.
They're doing that in some promotions. They have girls fighting guys.
Like, fuck, you don't think she beats the shit out of some, like, dude featherweights? Like,
I know. Maybe not featherweights, but maybe, like, flyweights, bantamweights, some of them.
Amanda Nunes is a scary woman, and she is not a small woman either.
But some of those featherweights are fucking
huge. All right, I'm not saying her against Max Holloway, but I'm like...
I am. But I mean, you want to be great, Amanda? I mean, fight Max Holloway.
Dennis Seaver?
Yeah, but he's an old bum.
Dennis Seaver going to put up a fight against Amanda Nunes?
No, probably not. Actually, I got to answer your question.
He's going to get his ass beat. He's going to get fucked up. Or Dennis Floyd Seaver. Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather, Amanda Nunes.
In MMA.
Yeah.
She'd beat the shit out of him, definitely.
That'd be so bad to watch.
Oh, she would just leg kick him once and then just take him down and smash him. Like, that would be so bad for him. He's like, shit, I'm fine. I don't care.
I don't know. I've always kind of just, like, wanted to see Floyd Mayweather try to eat a leg kick. Because Floyd Mayweather talks more shit than anybody when it comes to fighting. But, like, imagine Floyd Mayweather trying to eat a leg kick. He just wouldn't be able to do it.
Floyd in a real fight probably gets beat up. In a boxing match. I mean, it's hard to say that he'll get beat up, but, like...
When's he fighting Logan Paul?
Supposedly the rumor is that it hasn't gotten enough like interest, so there's not enough projected pay-per-view buys.
So
they're waiting. I think they're postponing it. There's got to be some hidden shit, yeah. Some hidden reason.
Because
I want to see that. I'll watch that. I don't give a fuck.
I'm to the point where what was that kid's name? I think that was Ryzen too. Floyd went overseas to
fight Tenshin.
Yes, Tenshin.
I forget his last name, Nasukawa or something.
He got his ass beat by Floyd. Embarrassed.
Because he was small. He was so small. He fights at like 125. And Floyd came in there fucking way bigger than him.
I like to hype up underdogs. I loved that contention. Yeah. For like the entire like hype up to that. And it was only an exhibition too. Like it was on at like 2 a.m. Like,
dude, Floyd got like 8 million for that.
Yeah, just popping it up, being a small child.
8 million. Took a fucking jet, said, no, I'll go beat. He didn't need to train, he did push ups. Fuck it.
What's crazy though is like I'm pretty sure he's done more of those exhibitions like that, but like...
He said he's open to.
But like, they're just not televised, so people don't find out about him. Floyd loves money, and like, old rich people love...
Spending money on him. Because he brings a lot of money.
Just, that fight was like, Tenshin and Floyd, it was just... Literally, the guys wanted to see that. Yeah. Like 12 people were like, no, we want that. Like, bring Floyd over. Like,
we'll pay him. We want to see it. I know, dude. In Japan, they love it. They love, like, the crazy. Remember the, what was that dude? Hongman Choi? The big 7-foot dude with the purple hair?
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, these God, fucking dude. Guys over there.
He fought Fade. Dude, Fedor broke that dude's arm backwards. He said, fuck you, big fucking Japanese guy. I'll break your shit.
See, if Fedor can fight somebody like that, why can't Amanda Nunes fight Gabby? Like, right.
There's some crossovers that I would be kind of, like, interested in. Like, just because of the thought of it. Like, imagine this. Imagine Francis Ngannou, Deontay Wilder, 4-ounce gloves, no takedowns.
Kicks?
Yeah, kicks.
Elbows, knees.
Yeah, fuck it. All the stand-up stuff that you can do, but no takedown, no ground stuff.
So Muay Thai.
Sure.
I mean,
there could be some grappling, like in the clinch, but you can't, okay. No taken down.
So literally Muay Thai, yeah.
Very specific rules here.
I think, see, that would be weird. That would be a weird one. Deontay Wilder.
It's because they have big freak power. That's the only reason. And with 4-ounce gloves. All right, how about this? We'll just make it simple. Boxing match, Deontay Wilder, Francis Ngannou, 4-ounce gloves.
Oh, Deontay Wilder. just because, like...
I'm not saying who'd win. I'm just saying...
Oh, if I would...
If you'd pay...
Oh, absolutely. I would pay for the first one. Like, right. Kicks. That was a tough one to see who's going to win. But no, I would definitely watch that. I'd,
oh, 100%. That would be crazy.
I'm to bananas. The point of, like, just, like, degenerate gambling that I would watch any fight if I can put money on it. I would.
So you're saying you'd bet Deontay?
Man, I'd have to look into it, but yeah, probably, absolutely. You know, those wild punches are just.
I feel like I'd bet Ngannou. Just because of the gloves.
Oh,
it's a little different.
No, you're right.
Like landed shots with the gloves and shit like that. Deontay doesn't punch very well. He could break his hand. He always breaks his hands in his fights all the time because he clubs them.
You know who sucks?
Oh.
Dylan Danis. Dylan Danis trying so hard to fight Jake Paul. But Dylan...
I can't wait till Jake Paul beats the dog shit out of Ben Askren.
That's going to be a fun one.
So, I think it was Mike Perry that tweeted, at Dana White, I just left training with Jake Paul... Your buddy Ben's got, like, some issues coming.
Yeah.
And then Jake Paul immediately posted on Twitter a video of him pulling a fire truck. So, I mean, and like, if you're listening to this right now and you don't know who Ben Askren is, what he looks like, pause it, Google, go look up Ben Askren. The stomach. Look at the stomach. The dad bod. Then come back and listen. Give you a second. Ben Askren gonna get his ass. When Ben Askren fought Jorge, now Ben Askren beat Robbie, so, and I love underdogs.
Not really though.
No, not really. But so I like to think he did, yeah. And you know I love underdogs, so I'm like, oh, Ben Askren's gonna beat Jorge. And I remember we had like a squad watching this fight. And
at Evan's house.
Yeah, just me and Evan were like, nah, Ben's winning. And then literally couldn't even blink. Done. Oh. Fight's over.
Dude, I remember I was fighting with Evan the whole time. Because I remember talking about Ben Askren. And when he first came to the UFC. And I'm like, dude, this guy's a fucking bum. He has zero hands. No hands. No stand-up. Nothing. All he does is go out there and dig with his head. That's all he does. Like... You can't say that about anybody else who's in the tip top in the UFC, right? Nobody else there is that bad at one thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's terrible at it. So I was like, he's going to get smoked eventually. And I didn't think he was going to beat Robbie. I think that was obviously a controversial thing. And he was getting his ass beat. Robbie dropped him on his head and dropped bombs on his face. And the fight could have arguably been stopped there. But when he fought Jorge, Evan's like, I'm like, listen, Jorge's going to beat the dog shit out of this guy. But... If Ben Askren beats Jorge Masvidal, I'll give it to you. I'll say, all right, Ben is legit. And he's like, okay. And as soon as he said okay and smiled and like looked at the TV, Jorge Masvidal just runs across and wham, takes his fucking head off, dude. And Ben's just, and everyone, and Evan's just sitting there. I'm like, I didn't know that was going to happen, but that's just perfect.
And like, and after that, the memes that like every time Ben tweeted, like underneath terrible. Were just like pictures of him sleeping, yeah. Or like there was one. It was like a TikTok. He opened the fridge, and then you saw, like a knee coming at you. Then he closed it. Like they were dragging this poor man on the internet. Like it was bad.
I mean, luckily he doesn't give a fuck.
No, he doesn't give a fuck. He fucking boxing Jake Paul. You're gonna get knocked out. He's like 37 again by a YouTuber.
Oh man, that's the worst. Of course, the one guy that goes out from MMA to go like shut this kid up is gonna be a guy who's probably gonna get the shit beat out of him. It's terrible. It's gonna make it look terrible.
It was bad because like when Nate Robinson got knocked out by Jake Paul, the internet went crazy too. Just like NBA players, like, oh no, nah, I'll take care of this for you, Nate. Like I'll go handle him. Like the funniest was like I saw one video. I think it was the RDC Dream World. They made it. And, like, he was, like, it was a J.R. Smith one. Like, J.R. Smith pulling up with the strap, like, to handle Jake Paul.
Bottle of Henny.
That'd be great, not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, not knowing how much time's
left. I just came here with a gun.
Yeah, you know.
That's what they pay me for.
Fuck you, Jake Paul. I'm just...
Oh, man. There's some weird shit going on. But there is, there's been some... top names, some new names coming up. They're not like a whole lot of... Some of them got some hype, but not... See, the UFC's looking for too many unicorns. You know what I'm saying? They kind of got spoiled, right? Like, Khabib is a unicorn. One of a kind. And he just walks away. Conor, another one. Adesanya, another one. They were getting a lot of stars. Mm. And now it's like... They have people, but they're not pumping them up the way they were with some other people. So, like, for now, like, a new guy, for example... Kevin Holland, he's fighting soon. Soon
to he us. Was supposed to fight.
He's fighting Brunson.
He was supposed to fight Chizmiat, right?
Oh, Hamza.
Yeah, he was supposed to fight him, but he got COVID.
Right, and he said he retired.
Yeah,
but he said he's coming back anyway.
Yeah, he said he is coming back, but
right.
That I mean, was a weird thing. He was young anyway. That
yeah, he's young.
There must have been more behind that, but like Kevin Holland's a beast, though.
Knocked Jacare out on the fucking floor. Boom.
I think
Hunt's crazy
beast. And yeah, Brunson's a bum.
He's fought the best though, but
and,
like
and lost
against all of them. Yeah, but he's like a gatekeeper.
I remember like the first time like I really like realized Derek Brunson was a bum. I figured he was gonna lose. Because I loved Robert Whittaker. It's when Whittaker fought Brunson.
Oh.
Way before Whittaker even...
That was bad. I remember that.
And Whittaker dismantled him. I have Fitzy in my ear the whole time saying, oh, no, Brunson's going to come back from this. No. Brunson's going to come... Bum.
Brunson was just walking forward with his chin up. That was a particularly terrible fight for him.
He barely beat 118-year-old Anderson Silva. Like,
yeah.
Wasn't that
he highly, didn't beat him.
That was like highly controversial.
He lost, yeah.
Oh yeah, he did lose.
Yeah. They gave it a Anderson Silva.
Mm.
It's pretty fucking crazy. But yeah, Kevin Holland. I feel like the 125 division, like their champ, Figueiredo's a fucking beast. He's kind of a star rising.
That's flyweight.
Is that what I said? Or I said featherweight.
I don't know what you said, but I know he just had a draw against
Moreno.
Yeah, that was a really good fight.
Yeah, the fact that it was a draw, like, that was pretty fucking nuts.
Because people thought the flyweight division was dead. I think it's far from dead. The small guys, like I said earlier, the small guys are beasts.
Well, now they have an exciting champion, Figueiredo, who's just fucking KOing people because he's so big. He comes in at, like, 150. They're like, hey, 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 and he's like, wham, mashing them. But before, it sucks because before the GOAT, one of the GOATs, the argument of the GOAT, Mighty Mouse, he wasn't getting, like, pumped up because he wasn't...
I kind of wish they kept him around.
Yeah.
Because,
we got Ben Askren instead, and we just talked about him.
And Ben Askren doesn't even... He's fucking boxing Jake Paul. Yeah. Like, he's not a man no more.
I know.
And Demetrius Johnson's been, like, tearing up in one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's, like...
I think he's the champ, though.
Back to undefeated, too. Yeah. Like, I mean, not back to undefeated, but hasn't lost since losing to Henry.
Yeah. Yeah, Henry's fucking annoying. But he wants to fight Max Holloway, which I think is a terrible idea for him. But
No, I said I'd pay for anything. I don't think I'd pay for that. I don't think I'd want to see that. That's just going to be like five rounds of Max Holloway just like showing Henry
Cejudo. Especially after his last fight, Max Holloway looked stupid.
Henry Cejudo, you're 5'2". Like, stop trying to fight these grown men. Like,
Max walks around at like 180. And he's tall.
He got blessed to beat TJ the way he did.
You think?
I mean, like, to get out of it that early, absolutely. Because TJ Dillashaw, like...
He dropped TJ like 3 times, though.
Yeah, but he got out of it early. Like, if TJ, like... If... I think if TJ makes it out, he at least gives him a little bit of a fight. He probably doesn't win it, but he at least gives a little bit of a fight. Henry doesn't take a beating, but... You know, TJ lands shots. Like, he's a scary fighter. You never know. Like, he knocked Cody out.
Twice.
I mean,
he's also on EPO. He had a lot of help.
And Cody's got a weak chin, but
that he keeps in the air.
TJ's coming back soon.
Yeah, I know. I forgot who they were mentioning. I think he's fighting like Sanhagen. Maybe they might give him Sanhagen.
Sanhagen's kind of good.
Yeah.
To be a youngin.
Yeah. Oh right. All right. He just fucking killed Frankie Edgar. Like, fucking Frankie Edgar. He's ancient too.
The prelims have been better than some of the main cards.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's no star power right now.
I've been bad with the names of the prelim people.
Nobody remembers them.
Well, it's because some of these names are, like, hard to pronounce. Like, some of these names aren't normal people names. Like,
Zhumagulov.
Like, my name is Tyler Rose. Like, anybody That's can easy. Pronounce that. Right. Anybody. But, like, you got a name that got, like, every syllable, like...
Every single syllable that could be created.
Fucked. But there was this one kid like 3 weeks ago. He was fighting like a crazy submission specialist. Like been in the UFC for like.
Oh, you're talking about the guy that got gassed, and then he got subbed.
Yes, he.
I forget his name.
The guy he was facing had like,
huge.
Yeah, he had.
Cauliflower.
The holes in your ear.
Oh, gauges. Yes, because
he had them taped.
Right.
And then he ended up submitting him.
Right. And like, he was kind of getting his ass beat at first.
Yeah, like, that shit's crazy. Like, that was a massive comeback in that fight. Like, and it was a prelim fight.
Yeah. No, there's always going to be, obviously, phenomenal fighters, but in terms of stars, they're hurting right now. There's no, like, all their stars are getting taken over by good fighters.
I mean, it doesn't help. They make very bad decisions anyway when, like, they get rid of certain fighters, or let certain fighters walk. And then when certain stars that should be built up differently.
Yeah.
For example, you could probably already call him the biggest bust in MMA. Sage Northcutt.
Yeah.
Was supposed to, he's like, what, 2 years younger than us? Like, right. He's like. Supposed to be like an animal. He's over in one getting dropped by bums now because Dana didn't treat it right. Like, right. Tried to move him too early. And then now it's what's happening with Sugar Sean O'Malley. He's fighting these like studs, which, yeah, he should be, but he's moving up too fast. Like,
Star
power is getting built up too fast.
Well, because that's the other thing that happens in the UFC is that they put the guys who are the best against each other. They put guys with names, relative names, against each other. And they don't want to... I think that's part of their, like, differentiating factor between them and boxing. Because boxing, you never get the fights that you want until fucking later on. So, speaking of that, luckily, there's been, I guess, talks of AJ and Fury happening, which would be dope. I think Fury dusts him, but...
Fury's the only undefeated one left.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, honestly. That'd be weird if he doesn't dust him.
I think he's too good. He's too versatile.
I'd rather see Deontay Wilder and Fury again, but...
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you give Wilder a little bit more time. He comes back, like, better than ever. He was...
I disagree. I had Fury win in the first one when it became a draw. Mm-hmm. Still, I don't know how 2 knockdowns make it a draw when he boxed his fucking ears off the whole fight. Like, I thought Fury won that fight. Because even though he got knocked down in the last round, he got up and won the rest of the round. So, like...
I thought that last knockdown was... The fight, though.
Yeah, everybody. Most refs wouldn't even count. They'd be like, no, it's over. That ref said, one.
I mean, that's... That, like, just speaks for the respect that the ref has for the fighter.
Yeah, like, giving him a chance.
Like, Herb does that all the time. You see Herb do that with certain fighters. He'd call it quicker. Or if it's somebody like Dominic Cruz, or maybe it wasn't Dominic Cruz. Somebody was getting beat on the other night in the cage, and then they ended up winning. But Herb Dean, like, didn't stop it at first, and then gave him a chance to come back.
Yeah, because there's some guys, like, you watch, like, DC. They give DC a long fucking time if he's getting beat on, which is rare. He doesn't get beat on often. But, like, I think I'm only thinking of this one specific moment when he fought John Jones and got kicked in the fucking head.
Oh, they gave him
Matt. They gave him Matt, like, maybe a little too long.
It was, getting beat on. That became very controversial. People were like, that was late stoppage.
Yeah.
Ronda also got a lot of time.
Against Amanda Nunes. Yeah, she's like, legs straight, Darren headlights.
I was like, I remember watching that, just screaming, stop it, Herb Dean, stop it, Herb Dean.
Yeah. There's like a fine line between, like, stopping it too early and too late, like, because who knows when it's too late? Because another thing that comes to my mind is when it's Piotr Jan, the fight with Piotr Jan and Jose Aldo. Dude, Aldo was not doing anything for a round and a half. How do you decide at the end of that round, or like whenever he called it, like, okay, that's enough? Like, how do you decide then? He was getting his ass beat for a round and a half doing nothing on the ground. Mm. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, do you know who the rest of that fight was?
No, I don't.
So, Mario is like...
Yeah, he doesn't even ref anymore, though.
I just remember it was Valentina, and it was like in the flyweight division. I think it was before there was a flyweight belt.
Yeah.
So, like, they were, like, trying to build up the contenders, and, like, the girl she was fighting was supposed to be a stud, but, like, she wasn't Valentina. And in the second round, she was just getting her face just elbowed into the canvas. Just repeatedly. Just, like, could not stop it. And Mario was just like,
this looks good.
That looks fun to do. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy it.
Oh, it's bad.
And I remember Dana just, like, calling him every name in the book after. And still allowing him to ref in his promotion, you know, just the next fight.
I know. Crazy.
They do have a lot of different refs now that you see.
Go fuck yourself. That shit happens from time to time. Another thing before we wrap this up. What are you doing on YouTube? Like, what's the... I know it's still part of Clean Co., but you're obviously not, you know.
So my YouTube channel is... I want to branch it out to different... It's mostly sneaker content. I am going to do some other stuff soon, but that's all I'm going to say for now, just some other stuff. But, I do a lot of restoration projects on there. I review different sneaker cleaners, and I also open mystery boxes Hypebeast brands or sneaker mystery boxes.
So how do you tell if there's a good... like, how do you know a good sneaker cleaner from a bad one?
I mean, some brands will tell you, like, it can be used on Nubuck. And then, like, I'll put it on my Nubuck, and my Nubuck will be ruined. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's just kind of what I want to do. Like, I want to kind of, like, before people will buy a shoe cleaner, hoping they fix it, and then it makes their shoe 10 times worse. I kind of just, like, want to acknowledge people on, like, what they're using on their sneakers. I've been cleaning forever, cleaning shoes since I was in high school. So, I mean, I was back in the day when I only had a toothbrush to clean my sneakers. Now I have 13 different brushes that I can use on my sneakers with different bristles and whatnot. I mean, it all depends on, like, the material and whatnot of the shoe. I can go into crazy scientific terms to make myself sound smart, but...
So do you get... Have you gotten shoe cleaner that sucks and you, like, have to review it and be like, this blows?
So they actually changed their name, fucking GOAT. I got into beef with this guy on Instagram because he had messaged me and was like, so we want you to review our product, blah, blah, blah. And now, like, I'm expecting when a brand messaging me to review their product. This is the first one that messaged me to do it. Now, there's three brands that has hit me up now, but this is the first one to hit me up. And I was expecting they were just going to send it to me. So they were trying to charge me more than the product was online.
Really?
So I, which was weird. So I was just like, I'm all set for now. And then they ended up changing the name. So when I saw they changed the name, I ended up buying the product myself just to do a review on it. Terrible cleaner. It's horrible. I think that's why they changed the name. Because it's such a bad, shitty product. It's fucking terrible. Fucking Rejuvenator. That's a very popular one. I haven't reviewed that
one
yet.
That's a good name.
I haven't reviewed that one yet because the people that do review that, they pay them a lot of money.
Oh, right.
And I'm not getting paid a lot of money. So
not worth it, yeah.
Yeah, they can kiss my ass. They think I'm reviewing that for free. Like, I want here for the butter.
How do you like the behind-the-scenes stuff for YouTube? Is it annoying? Is it fun to learn? Can you do without it?
I mean, you must know, like, coming down to record and shit, like, it kind of, like, you have to, like, luckily, I don't change my personality at all when I'm on camera for YouTube. It's just, I'm literally just, and sometimes I'll record while I'm working on a client sneaker to just, like, make it easier, get it out of the way, kill two birds with one stone. The editing was hard to learn at first.
Right.
But I started to teach myself how to, with transitions and shit like that. I had issues at first, but I started to learn. And then the hardest part was really like just being able to, cause I don't have a cameraman. Yeah. I just like film by myself. It out. So
yeah.
I have to figure out cool angles. And like what I'm finally starting to understand is like, you know, you want to drop something that like you would also watch yourself.
Right.
So, like, I've been finding myself, like, before I'll even, like, finish an edit, I'll watch the video a couple times first just to make sure it's something I like.
Right.
And then I'll put it out there.
That's the good thing about, like, a short-form video, like, kind of how you're... What is it, like, 3-4 minutes, something like that?
I started with, like, 3 to 4 minutes, and then my last couple were 5. My newest video is 10 minutes.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'm going to start to do, like, 10-minute videos just because I want to get my hours up. Watch hours. And I've been actually, like, every time I drop a new video, the last 3 videos, it could possibly be because I started using thumbnails.
Okay.
Which is, Canva.com.
I use Canva.
Yes, Canva's great. That's where I made like my thumbnails and everything like that. Since I started using thumbnails, I went up like 38, almost 40 subs. So like it really does make a difference. It
draws people in.
It really does make a difference. And like I changed all my titles, just like stuff like that. Like people are starting to come by. I really notice now.
So like long term, do you see yourself doing, like having almost like a storefront, whether it be a physical one or like an online one, plus still doing the media stuff? Like, do you see them kind of meshing later on down the road? Or is it more like you're just kind of doing it because you want to get more so into the sneaker game?
So I definitely see me sticking with it because I like it. And I kind of more started doing it to just like, at first I was just restoring sneakers on my Instagram, and I had ACS sneakers. Aiden, he lives in Liverpool. Cool guy, shout out to him. He was the first one that messaged me. He said my cleans look great, like I should get myself on YouTube.
Yeah.
And since then, me and him have chatted a lot. Like, great guy, like I said. And him and a couple other YouTubers, Sneaker Josie and BG Kicks, local. He's in New York, so he's a little closer.
Gotcha.
And guys like that who have a little more than 1,000 subs, close to 2,000. Like people like that helping small YouTubers like me out.
Right, that's
kind of what got me to even take the step to start posting online. And then now, like, the videos are getting better every time. And I definitely do see me continuing to do videos even when I stretch it out. Even if I do, like, open a storefront for cleaning or whatever I decide to do, I'm definitely going to stick with the videos.
Doing the video. Yeah, I mean, it's good because it's just eventually you want to make it as another stream of income. Because you can, you know, you can do the cleaning and you can run a store or you can, you know, whatever that, you can do that section. And then now you have a whole YouTube page, 1,000 subscribers that pays you X amount of dollars a month. You know, so now you can build both doing the same shit.
And what's different from my content compared to like other sneaker content, they call them ShoeTubers. What's the difference between my content and other ShoeTubers? I clean. I restore. Like other, they're just reviewing shoes and showing you sneakers that aren't out yet. And I'm teaching you how to fix your own sneakers.
Interesting.
Like my first restore video was how to DL midsoles. Like you got a pair of sneakers, say a pair of white Air Forces. The midsole gets very yellowed because you've had them for 10 years.
Right.
But you haven't worn them that much. They're still pretty good condition. You can de-yellow that midsole and make it all white again. Like, I taught people how to do things like that. And
so it's almost educational sometimes.
Absolutely. How-to, if you would.
Oh, interesting.
Shout out Mr. Jerry from Birchwood teaching me how to make how-tos. I still remember.
There you go. From middle school.
Oh, yeah. Birchwood shout-outs, baby.
Still growing the weed. Of course, still doing
that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that.
Got to start with that. You know, it's about to get legalized, I hope.
Right.
You know, we got a new governor, so we'll see how.
No governor. I know our governor ran for the hills. She's like, fuck this.
Put that other guy in there. I don't want to do this no more.
She's like, they don't even fucking like me there. I'm leaving.
Yes, that ass.
She's like, they're always talking shit, saying I got big nose. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Brutal.
Look like Bob Saget.
Yeah, Bob Saget. She looks like Ratatouille or something. I don't know what she looks like. It's weird. Like Thumbelina. You remember that shit on PBS? It was like a little mouse that was a ballerina.
Yes.
Yeah, PBS Kids. That was like that was like on Sundays. I fucking hated that shit. Well, anyway, this is a good time to cut this bitch off. Thank you, Tyler, for coming on again.
Absolutely.
I'll wait another 80 episodes to have you on again. So
I'll see you guys when it's completely different again. Yeah. You know, hopefully we get a new fucking table.
I'm going to keep this. Even if we don't use it, I'm going to keep the table. I'm just going to like put it against the wall or something. I got to remember it.
Yeah, going to make me just sit at that table alone for my next episode. Yeah. No matter what, I'll be at this table.
Where can they find you? Social media, YouTube? What is it?
Instagram's CleanCo401 and YouTube is also CleanCo401. Easy. My name is Tyler Rose, so just type that in on social media and you will find my personals. But don't look for my personals, I'm boring. CleanCo is definitely more fun, so CleanCo401.
How do people... What happened?
That rhymes.
Aw, shit. How do people... How can they like order your services? You're saying you can do shipping. How's that?
So just follow me on Instagram, and I do have my messages open to everybody. So just message me. I check my messages like more than a normal person should. So
good.
Yep.
All right, guys. Make sure you follow me. You know, the links are in the description. You know where the fuck I am. What's that shit? Like, comment, subscribe, share. Tell everybody about us, goddammit. That's the most important thing. You guys want to be a real audience? For real? Tell people. That's what audiences do. Word of mouth. Word of mouth. That's marketing here. Word of mouth. This is the spoken simian, goddammit. So make sure you check out obsessiveaggression.com, too. Make sure you do that. And that's it, guys. Have a great end of your week. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Peace.